As we make preparations to hear these words from the chapter 6 of John's Gospel, I would invite you, if you are able, to please stand. Remember last week in the scripture I said that passage it was missing had to deal with the feeding of the 5,000? Well, here is John's story. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw signs, the signs that he was doing for the sick. Now, Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now, Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread to feed all of these people?" Imagine the panic that went through Philip. Jesus said this to test him, for he himself already knew what it was that he was going to do. And Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "Here is a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments, the leftovers, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And when Jesus realized that they were about to come and to take him by force and make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come. The sea became rough because of a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives and living. May they take root within each and every one of us, O God. We pray now for a sense of rest and peace from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. There were those times in Jesus' life when he wanted to withdraw from the crowd himself. He needed a break. He needed to commune with God and the Holy Spirit to be refueled and rejuvenated. He is trying to get his disciples away, and it just will not happen. He was under conscious strain and needed some rest. He's in need of some time for prayer. And so Jesus takes this band of disciples into the hills to sit with them, and he looks up, and there is a crowd of people coming. I read these words this past week. A man stood at the crossing by the stoplight. He had a heavy beard and coarse clothing. A dog was tied to the light post. And in his hands, he held a cardboard sign that said, "We'll work for food." This person also says that traveling across the state of Montana, I discovered a whole family in the same predicament. They would stop at rest stops and post a letter in the restroom explaining their dilemma. They had lost their jobs, lost their home. They had family in Wisconsin, but they had no money for food or gas. Could we help them on their way? I was coming out of the Giant Eagle parking lot this past week and going somewhere on Route 30, and there was a man standing by the sign with a son. Single dad, no job, 2, 3, 4 kids, need money. Will you help me? God bless. Just a couple days ago, I was coming down Route 30 and in the turning lane to turn left into the Giant Eagle complex. And as I'm sitting there, everybody that's coming around out of the other plaza, they're all looking over my shoulder. And I'm thinking, what's over there? And so since I'm still stopped, I started rubbernecking myself. And there I see the side profile of a blonde-haired young lady. And I'm sure she had a sign, but I have no idea what it said. What do we do when we are faced with people who have a need? We'll work for food. Perhaps Jesus gives us some indication in the opening verses of this chapter of what we're to do. Faced with a hungry crowd of 5,000 people, a group of doubtful followers, a food pantry that's minimal, he took what he had and he fed those 5,000 hungry people. There was no rationing, no rules, no prohibitions against seconds and thirds. Just eat as much as you want and don't worry about anybody else. And when they finished, there was a pickup truck load of groceries left over. When they saw what he had done, there was no doubt in their minds. This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. Now, in John's gospel, we are faced with a God and a Jesus Christ who are totally extravagant. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became one of us and walked among us. 6 large jars of water turned into 6 large jars of the best wine. Do you know that in this time period of Jesus' day, when the wine gave out, the wedding party stopped? And to run out prematurely was an embarrassment to the family. Mark Lowry says in his comedy routine, part of this, he says, so Jesus is there at the wedding and his mom comes up to him. Mary comes up and says, Jesus, they have no wine. And he says, woman, now don't ever, ever refer to your mom that way or your wife. Woman, that'll get you into trouble really quickly. What do you want me to do? And she turns and says to the servants, you do whatever he tells you to do. And, of course, we know that then that water was turned into wine. But have you ever realized that Jesus' very first miracle of turning the water into wine was just to keep that party going? That's a celebration. 5 loaves and 2 fish then, feeding 5,000 people. With 12 baskets left over. And then there's a story of the disciples in a boat fishing where the boat is about to sink because it is filled with so many fish. 153, the scriptures tell us, but then who's counting? God has been totally extravagant and the giving to each and every one of us the gift of life through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so now what do we do with a person? What do we do with a sign that says, we'll work for food? What do we do when we see a homeless person? What do we do when we see someone with a sign looking for assistance? What do we do when we see on the TV homes and lives devastated by hunger, by poverty, by floods, by storms, by war? What do we do when we see the hurting, the neglected, the lost, the lonely, the unloved, the abused, the outcast? Each of which is a person created by God and therefore our brother or our sister. In the Clergy Journal, a magazine I receive, I read this prayer. Fairest Lord Jesus, what a difference you make when you enter a life. The difference is found in Jesus' first miracle in Cana. First, the need must be known to Jesus. They have no wine. Then there must be obedience to Jesus' command. Fill the jars with water. And what are the results? A quality of life from water to the best wine, a manifestation of Jesus' glory and faith in the disciples. Jesus' miracle can result in our becoming a miracle. Amen. And I wore this shirt for a reason. This is this year's work trip shirt. And when you just read the words initially, you see, believe there is good in the world. But if you look at the first letter of just a couple words, be the good in the world. My friends, we all need a new spirit where we are willing to lay down our lives to be concerned about the emotional, physical, mental, spiritual needs of our brothers and sisters. Oh God, help us. Might we experience a miracle? Might we be the miracle that is sent into the world? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the good news today. With the power and presence of Jesus Christ within us, all things are possible. We can expect a miracle. We can be a miracle. And we can be a part of that which you desire to change, to transform, and to make new. Oh God, bless us. Change us, transform us, and use us. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.